all those are important announcements. And the thing is that God will bless you. You know, you only get out of something as much as you put into it. And you know, if there are some folks that want to complain about this or that or whatever, but, you know, they don't participate. They don't get involved. What happens is that when you minister to others, God ministers back to you. That's the way it works in the kingdom of God. And so if you want to get a blessing from God, don't just sit around. You know, some people say, well, I want to get under the spout where the glory comes out. Well, I'll tell you, the way to do that is get involved. Get involved in what God is doing. And what will happen is God will just begin to fill your heart and soul with his presence. And you'll experience the blessing of the Lord like you never have before. That's an important principle. Let's be reminded of that. This is Palm Sunday. And I thought it'd be good for us to sing one of the great hymns we have as our guest today. A very special guest, Joseph Nemo. He has come all the way from Tulsa, Florida. Who would leave Tulsa? What do we got? Tampa. I'm thinking of something else. There might be a Tulsa, Florida. I don't know. But he came from Tampa, Florida. And I was thinking, who would normally leave the warmth of the South to come north? Although this year, there have been occasions when it wasn't so warm, right? Yeah, it's been pretty cold down there. But he came up to be with us this weekend. We've had a great time last night. Had a wonderful time of praise and worship. And he's going to bless us today. He's going to accompany during the song and worship. And then he'll have a section of music he's going to bless us with later in the service. But let's just enter in as we offer praise to the Lord. All right. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God.
This is my song. Praise. God. Hallelujah. Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. We lift up our hearts to you, O God, today in worship and praise. Blessed be your holy name. Who am I that you are mindful of me and that you hear me when I call? Is it true that you are thinking of me? How you love me? It's amazing. What a privilege to be known as a friend of God, that He's our friend. He's our God and our Savior. But to think of it, that we have a friend like no one else. It's Jesus. He comes alongside and helps us, ministers to us when we're in need. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's not only the God of the universe, but He's our friend. What a wonderful truth. They lined the streets of Jerusalem long ago. And we're remembering that day. And as they lined that streets, there was great anticipation in the hearts of those who were there in that moment. Excitement was building to a fever pitch, and all of a sudden, they saw in the distance a figure that came into view and was making his way down that path that led to the streets of Jerusalem. It was Jesus. And all of a sudden, as you could begin to hear the roar go up from the crowd in the distance, and then it kind of moved along like that wave that you hear so often that comes as people begin to rejoice as they see who it is, and they lifting up their voices and shouting, "Hail to Jesus! Hail to Jesus! Hosanna! Thank you. Thank you, Lord. The Lord is here to bless us if you'll just open your life to Him. Those who come to Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. People searching for truth, and it's found in a person, and that person is Jesus. And as we open our lives to Him, He comes in only the way that He can. His Holy Spirit comes and ministers to our spirit and our soul. We come out of a life where there are many concerns. Oftentimes there are troubled hearts that come into the presence of the Lord, and wherever Jesus is, there's peace. Wherever Jesus is, there's help, salvation, and healing. In Jesus' name. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, all Prince of Peace. That is what I want to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. Now we're here today, and as I said, there may be some. Maybe you've gone through a difficult week. You've come into this place and your heart is troubled. Maybe you're even now thinking about some things you're going to face tomorrow. I would encourage you, as we sing this song, to enter in. It's a song of worship. We're singing it to the Lord. I worship you, Almighty God. And when we do that, why not do that in your soul and in your spirit? Don't allow the enemy to plague you with the problems of the present that are pressing in, but choose to turn your eyes to heaven and your heart towards the Lord. And as we sing this chorus, may it be an expression of your feelings in your heart. You say, oh God, I'm here and I worship you, Lord. No matter what's going on in my life, I know you're worthy to be praised. And I have come to this place at this time, and I know that regardless of what I'm facing, I turn my heart to you and praise. And I know that if I call upon your name, that you will come to me and you will minister to me in my hour of need. I know, oh God, you will do that. You've never failed me in the past, and you'll not fail me now, oh Lord. And so I come to you with a heart of worship, and I'm here to receive what you have for me, oh Lord. So as we sing those words, I worship you, Almighty God, may that be a true expression of what's in our hearts. Let God do something special today for you. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, through that song, and as he plays, just worship the Lord right now. Let him do something right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Bless and sing. Come and minister to hearts right now in the name of Jesus. Move by your spirit, hungry soul. have a special need right now, move to the center aisle or the side aisles. God is here to meet your need. Quickly, do it now. If you have a special need, move to the center aisle or the side aisles. We're going to pray for you. Take the time this morning to stand right there. Just those who need prayer in the center aisle or the side aisles, move quickly right now. If you're standing in need of prayer today, the Lord is going to do something special for somebody today. But be obedient to the Lord. Hear what God is saying to you right now. If you are in need, you move to the center aisle or the side aisles. God is going to do something special for somebody today. It may be you. Right now, I'm going to ask other Christians, men with men, women with women, to move to these that are standing here. I want everyone to have somebody to pray with them if they're standing in an aisle. All right? Okay. All right, right now, we've been talking about presenting ourselves to God and in worship. Now I'm going to ask you to touch heaven on behalf of those that are in need. Right now, just lift your heart to the Lord and ask for divine deliverance and power and healing for whatever the need is. You don't have to know the specific need. You just need to know that they're a person in need. And ask that God would answer the petition of the heart. Now you who are standing there, ask God right now for what you need. If it's healing, ask for healing. If it's some kind of situation you're going through, ask for deliverance right now. You ask for it, and those are going to pray. They're going to pray with you that God will answer your prayer. Whatever you ask, you shall receive, the word says. So you begin to ask right now and believe you're going to receive it as you have prayer partners standing there with you. Hallelujah. Let's touch heaven this morning, folks. Let's touch heaven in the name of Jesus for deliverance and for healing, salvation right now in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come down, oh God, we pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Let the awesomeness of your presence touch the name of the Lamb. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. We bless your holy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You are here to minister and to meet needs. We bless the name of Jesus. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Begin to thank the Lord for what he's done. Begin to thank him. Say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done today. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, Lord. We bless your holy name. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There's victory in the house this morning. Glory to God. Jesus is here. And wherever Jesus is, there's always victory. Glory to God. Amen. You may be seated. Aren't you glad you came to the house of God today? God is so gracious. And he always meets us when we have open hearts. I've said it many times.
we oftentimes become the worst obstacle in our lives. And we just need to let go and let God have his way. God's great. He's here this morning in this place, folks. Listen, you just need to open your life to the Lord and say yes. Just say yes. Played it as many different ways as I think I've ever heard it in one time. What a variation on that tune. That is great. Praise the Lord. I want to just read a portion of Scripture. This is Palm Sunday, and I just wanted to read this passage for you in remembering the significance of this day. I'd like to title my remarks on this subject, When Jesus Comes to Town. When Jesus comes to town. There's a lot of ideas about who Christ is and whether or not we should allow Christianity in the school system and allow Christianity in public places. It seems like more and more people are wanting us to keep our religion to ourselves in the sense that we don't speak about anything religious outside of the four walls of the building in which we meet. And that's a tragic thing. And yet we today remember a very public event that took place a long time ago. And in Luke's Gospel, in the 19th chapter, we have this description. This is one of the descriptions. You find it also over in Matthew's Gospel, the 21st chapter. But here in verse 19, or chapter 19 of Luke, beginning with verse 28, we have this passage here. I'm just going to read this for you again to remind us of the significance of this event. Says this, and after he had said these things, he was going on ahead, ascending to Jerusalem. And it came about when he approached Bethphage and Bethany near the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of the disciples, saying, go into the village opposite you. in which as you enter you will find a colt tied on which no one yet has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Thus shall you speak, the Lord has need of it. And those who were sent away have found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owners said to them, why are you untying the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of it. And they brought it to Jesus, and they threw their garments on the colt and put Jesus on it. And as he was going, they were spreading their garments in the road. And as he was now approaching near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles which they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. When Jesus comes to town, people are trying to push Jesus out. They don't realize that when Jesus comes to town, he makes a difference. What would happen if Jesus came to town? What would happen if he came to our town? It would shake a lot of things up, wouldn't it? Some would be fearful, I think. The only people who would be fearful are those who know they're not living right. You see, if you know the King is coming and the one who comes in the name of the Lord, you don't worry about that if you're living right. But if you're not living right, you ought to have fear. Jesus himself put it well, because when he was beginning his ministry, near the beginning of his ministry, we find this passage over in Luke, the 4th chapter. And beginning with the 16th verse, if you want to know why did Jesus come? Why would he come? We know he to save people, but there's oh so much more even than that. When you think about what Jesus does, he saves people from hell, yes, but he does a lot of other things that benefit society. And notice what he said in this passage in Luke's gospel in the 4th chapter in verses 16 to 19. It says, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath, stood up to read, and the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. And he opened the book and found the place where it was written. This is what he read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are downtrodden, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. If Jesus came to our town, what would he do? I have a feeling he'd do a lot of these things that I've just read for you this morning. To have the anointing of God, says, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And then to be sent by God. To be anointed and to be sent. What a privilege. You know, God does that today. God anoints people today with his Holy Spirit. God sends people today. Do you know that God has an anointing for you? God has a special mission for you. We see this as being part of Christ's mission. But how often have you thought, you know, as children of the King, as heirs of God, also he has chosen us, he's anointed us with his Holy Spirit, and he has sent us out into the world. We are anointed and we are sent by the Spirit of the living God. When Jesus comes to our town, he comes, perhaps you don't see him physically, but he comes when individual believers live their faith out in the public. There are those who say, we don't want to see your religion. We don't want to experience your Christianity. But God calls to us to make our faith obvious to others around us, because Jesus speaks through sanctified lives. He's speaking through your life. He's speaking through your co-workers. He's speaking to those of your neighbors in your neighborhood. He's speaking to your relatives through your life. God has anointed you at the altar of salvation. The anointing of the Spirit comes upon us to do something bigger and greater than what we have in mind. He's anointed. He sent us. And Jesus said, that's why I came. I was anointed and I was sent. Sent to do what? To proclaim release to the captives. Anybody here know somebody who's held captive? Somebody who has a habit they're trying to break and they can't break it. Somebody who has maybe some kind of a behavioral habit. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's fear. They're held captive. You know anybody like that? Maybe it's greed. Maybe it's avarice. Maybe it's lust. And you know anybody who's held captive today? Jesus is the answer. We say he's the answer. He came to set the captive free. Not just somebody who is in physical bondage, in bonds and chains. But he came to set free those people who are bound. Do you know anybody like that today? Maybe you say, yes, sir. Pastor, every time I look in the mirror, I see somebody who's bound. Maybe there's somebody like that here today. Do you know that Jesus came to set you free? When Jesus comes to our town, that's what he does. He's in the freeing business. He takes lives that are bound and discouraged and distraught, and he frees them and gives them joy and peace. Recovery of sight to the blind, he heals. He heals. We know that as we look to God and believe, in faith believing, that God is a prayer-answering God, and he heals. You know somebody sick and needs a healing touch? When Jesus comes to our town, when he comes into an area, there's healing, healing in Christ. It says, and also he came to set free those who are downtrodden. Know anybody like that? So many people, they get discouraged, and there are times when psychologically they're affected. And because of that discouragement, they are downtrodden. You know that God doesn't want you to live that way? God doesn't want you to live in depression. God came to lift you up. He came to raise you up out of that level of despair and give you joy and peace. Remember that old hymn we used to sing? I haven't sung it for a while. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. Has he brought you out of the miry clay? Maybe you're still dealing with issues that have you down. Jesus came to lift the downtrodden. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, it made a difference when Jesus came to town that day. It'll make a difference in your life too, my friend. See him coming down the road of life, and he's coming to you. He's coming to minister health and strength. They were singing hallelujah on that day. Hallelujah. They were praising this one, hailing him. Believing that he would be the great deliverer. And you know he is the great deliverer. Even though there were forces at that time that sought to kill him, put him to death, there were still hungry hearts. And do you know every town has people like that? There may be opposition. There may be obstacles. But every town has hungry souls. Every town has hungry hearts. There are folks that are wondering, oh, is there a way out? Is there an answer to my predicament, to the dilemma in which I find myself? And the answer is yes, and the answer is Jesus. Jesus. And I say, oh, Lord, come to our town. Whatever it takes, Lord, come to our town. You say, well, he's already here. Well, he is. But I'd like to see a greater revelation of his presence. I'd like to see a situation where people are glad to see the presence of God and the works of God in their community. Instead of saying, pushing it away and saying, oh, that's not for me, keep it to yourself. I want to see the time when people are glad to open up their hearts and their lives and their homes to the presence of God and say, oh, God, come into our town. Come into my home, oh, God. That's where I need you. Oh, God, come into my heart. Make your entrance into my life. Because wherever he is, he does those things that I read for you this morning. He's a God who delivers. He's a God who heals. He's a God who encourages and lifts up the oppressed. That's the God I serve. God of salvation. God of liberation. Oh, Jesus. Come, O Lord, come down the road of life to me. Meet me where I am, O God. Become a part of what I cherish and enter my life that I might worship you and experience the joy of your presence. If People only knew what they're missing when they reject God. Oh, that we would throw open the doors of our lives, the doors of our community, and say, Jesus, have free reign here. Because wherever he is, there's peace and deliverance and freedom. When Jesus comes to town, he makes a difference. Brother Joseph is going to begin to minister in music, and he's going to just go for a number of minutes. And what I'm going to ask us to do, because we're going to have communion in a little bit, let's be, just sit here and meditate as he plays. God has anointed him as a master musician, given him a very sensitive heart to the movement of the Spirit, and he's going to minister various pieces of music, all to the glory of God. I thought it was appropriate on a Sunday when we're acknowledging that event when people gave praise, vocal praise and loud praise to the Lord. We have him with us, and he's going to do that at the keyboard and the piano. And so let's just now, in the presence of the Lord, let's just meditate and let God do something in our hearts as he begins to minister in music.
Morning, church. I just want to share a few songs with you. Now, this first song, it means a lot. You know, it ministers to me a lot. It's Amazing Grace. I don't know where, you know, each of us have a different backgrounds. And I came from a family that, you know, my parents got divorced when I was like 6 years old. And you all know the challenges of, you know, children growing up in divorce and, you know, all the things that go with it. So at some point in time, you know, I felt like abandoned. Everybody, you know, why did my mother leave? You know, why the divorce? You feel like everybody's giving up on you, you know. And then at the age of 10, I went to my mother's church, and that's where I got saved. And then I got to know that, oh, God, I have a God who cares, and I'm not alone. You know, God can save you wherever you are, whatever the situation you're in. You know, God still has the power, regardless of the divorce, whatever that you're going through. You know, God can still save you. So this morning, I just want to bless your heart with this song, that whatever you're going through, you know, God knows it, and he has a plan for your life.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That last song was total praise. I lift my hands in total praise to you. Again, along the lines of praise. Thank you, Joseph, for that. Joseph Nemo has been working with a church, with several churches down through the years, graduated from Berklee School of Music, and has many facets to his ministry, and he's been busy leading choirs and small groups and developing music in the church. That's his ministry, to help develop music in the church. And I just want to express to him my great appreciation for you coming. You have blessed our church last night and today. What a blessing. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We're going to move into a time of communion. After communion, I'm going to have our ushers at the doors. If you want to give a love gift to our brother, we're taking care of all his expenses, but if you might feel just led to give him a special love gift. He has a wife and a little baby, 3 months old. What a cute little guy. Joseph Jr. I think he's got a picture of his family, too. He might show you. They're a beautiful family, and they weren't able to come and be with him this weekend. But I just thought it'd be nice if we not just experience the blessing, but that we turn around and bless him. So I'm just letting you know, okay? So after the service, as you leave, if you feel led, there's no compulsion and no pressure. Just if you feel led, just put something in the offering bag, and we'll make sure he gets that as a token of our appreciation for him coming to be with us. Palm Sunday, as we call it, because of the praise that came from the people, and they were taking off branches of the palms and laying them in the way while Christ rode in. It was symbolic of really showing honor to royalty and those who are worthy of it. Little did many of those people know what was going to happen just a few days later. They were all caught up in the joy of the moment. They saw a time to celebrate. Quite a different scene than what took place just a few days later in the halls of Herod and then on Golgotha's Mount. There weren't so many people around at that time. It was a very lonely place. A few soldiers, just a very few loyal women who were there and mourning what was happening. Two thieves on either side, and Jesus hung on a cross in the middle. We know the story. What would it mean if someone had a last chance opportunity? We've heard the stories of those who are on death row, and in the last moment they usually say, is there anything you want to say before they're executed? Some choose to make a statement, some choose not to, and we have that moment at Calvary. And who would have thought two who deserved to die had an opportunity, one last chance. One railed against the Christ, and he deserved his eye. And the other was touched with the passion of that moment and said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And you know, that moment comes to every man and woman, every child, when the gospel is preached. It's as if they have their Calvary moment. It may not be the last chance they have, but yet it may. It's that moment when you come face to face with the Savior and you make that decision. What are you going to do with the Christ? Will you turn away? Will you reject his mercy and his favor? Or will you say, oh Lord, remember me? We all come to that point in life. And it may be this morning there's somebody here And that's the point you've come to. You've come to that Calvary moment. Just like Jesus gave that opportunity to those two in that moment of time, Jesus is coming to you right now. He offers salvation and deliverance. If you just open your heart, say, "Oh Lord, I want you to remember me. I want to accept the salvation that only you can give." If that is you today, my friend, I urge you not to turn him away. Don't identify with the one who cursed him and rejected the Christ. Oh, identify with the one who said, "Oh Lord, I am a sinner. Remember me." What a day. It was a day of death for all three who hung on the crosses. But only one experienced eternal death and damnation. For two, there was life beyond the grave. And you make that decision every time you're confronted with the gospel. What will you choose? Will you choose death or life? And I pray today you will choose life. The brethren are coming right now. We're going to serve you with the emblems of communion. I ask that everybody please hold them until we're all served, and then we will participate together.
Jesus, the blood of Jesus, oh, the blood of Jesus, oh, the blood of Jesus, it washes white as snow. Oh, has made me whole. Oh, it is Jesus. Yes, it is Jesus. Oh, it is Jesus in my soul. For I have touched the Yes, it is Jesus. Oh, it is Jesus in my soul. For I have touched the hem of his garment, and his blood has made me whole. For I have touched the hem of his garment, and his blood has made me whole.
Praise the Lord. That's what it's all about. It's about the blood of Jesus Christ making us whole again. Because without the Lord, you're not complete. You're really broken. And Christ is in the business of fixing people. He makes you whole again. He takes that heart that you have a lot of difficulty with because there are things you do and you know you shouldn't do it, but you do it anyhow. And he changes it so that you want to do what is right. But you know what only happens if you want to do what is right. The wonderful thing about Jesus is he doesn't force himself on anybody. He's not pushy. He doesn't make you do something you don't want to do. You have got to say, you know, Lord, I need you and I want you. There's some things in my life that need to be taken care of, and I know I have to submit. And one of the hardest things for people to overcome is pride. They don't want to admit they're wrong. They don't want to admit that they have a need. They don't want to admit that they're the problem. And Jesus, because he loves us, he's patient with us. He's not willing that any should perish. He wants everybody to accept him. And so he gives us a little slack and a little bit of time, and he then patiently again reminds us, and his spirit comes and brings conviction and says, you know, you really need to take care of this. I don't know how often he'll do that. No one knows. We know that he'll do that only for so long. And then he gets the message after a while and realizes, well, I guess you really don't want to do what's right. And without the prodding of the Holy Spirit there to bring conviction, you can't come to God. Even if you think you might want to later, it would never happen. Because it is the grace of God that brings us to the cross through the urging of the Holy Spirit. And so it's a dangerous thing to say no to Jesus every time he comes and urges you, because there's not always tomorrow. Some people say, oh, there's always tomorrow. That's not true. There's going to come a day when there will be no tomorrow for you, because the Spirit will leave. He'll be grieved to the point where you've sent the message, I don't want to, I don't care, I don't want to accept the Lord. And so he withdraws. And when he does that, you no longer have even a desire to do what's right. While God is knocking at the door of your heart, that's the time to open it, my friend. That's the time to say yes to Jesus. Not to wait, not to think there's another day I'll have. Oh, no. It's whenever you feel the conviction of his Spirit. That's the time to say yes. That's the time to welcome the Savior into your life. So we have this symbol of his broken body that reminds us that he paid the supreme price It wasn't just the physical pain. We focus on the physical pain of having the nails driven in his hands and through his feet. We focus on that. But you know, that wasn't the greatest pain. The greatest pain was that of rejection. A sinful world that he was dying for, and he saw all the iniquity, and even when the Father had to turn because of what Jesus represented, he who knew no sin became sin for us on the cross. He took the place of the sacrificial lamb. And so Jesus cried out, "Why have you forsaken me, Father? Why?" The pain that Jesus experienced wasn't just physical. It was the acknowledgement that there would be many. Even though he would sacrifice his life, there would be many who would reject him. Don't be among that number. You be the one that chooses to say, "I will serve the Lord. As for me, I'm going to be the one that's going to step forward and I won't listen to what others say. I will serve the Lord." It'll be the best decision you ever made in your life. Let us partake of this symbol of his broken body in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Bring us to the cross. Help us to renew our vow to you, O Lord. Right now in this place, somebody here needs to renew their vow to you, O God. May they hear what the Spirit is saying today. May they feel the compassion of your tender touch. And may they say yes to you, O Lord, I pray, in Jesus' name. Don't let them leave before they've made things right with you, God. This symbolizes his shed blood. Let us partake of it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Cause me to come to thy river, O Lord. Cause me to drink from thy river, O Lord. Cause me to live by thy river, O Lord. Cause me to come. Cause me to drink. Cause me to live. Would you stand with me? Me to come to thy river, O Lord. Cause me to drink from thy river, O Lord, and cause me to live by thy river, O Lord. Cause me to come. Cause me to drink. Cause me to live. Hallelujah. Don't you want to live by the river of God? In the river of life, there is healing. There's healing for the nations, and there's healing for you. I trust your purpose in your heart and in your life this week. That's where you want to be. You want to be in that place where God will bless you. There's a week of opportunities that lies before us. And you know, the outcome really depends somewhat on what we do with these opportunities. I believe God wants to use you in a very positive way to change your world. The question is, will you rise up and respond and say, "Yes, Lord, I'm a candidate for your service. I'll do what you've asked me to do. I'll respond to the call. I'll be a witness for you. I'll touch somebody's life in a positive way. I'll lead them to the cross." Would you do that this week? Don't miss out on the blessing of the Lord. With the call of God comes his blessing when you fulfill it. Oh, Jesus, that's where I want to be. Right in the middle of what you're doing in this world. Let me be your hand extended, reaching out to those who need help. Oh, God, let me be your hand extended to the world. Would you be that person? I trust you will. It's been great to be in the house of the Lord today, hasn't it? Huh? Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad you came to church? Aren't you glad you didn't stay home? Aren't you glad you came? Sing one final song, then we'll have the benediction. You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, O Lord. You are worthy to be praised. You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, O Lord. You right now. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord our God. Worthy to be praised in the sanctuary of the Lord. Glory and honor and power unto Him. He who sits on the throne. Blessing and honor and glory. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we have felt your presence here today. What a wonderful thing to be here in the presence of the Lord. That your people begin to leave this place. May they go with your divine benediction. Grace their lives with your presence. Overshadow them with your protective hand, I ask. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Have a great Lord's Day. Some may wish to just remain for a few minutes. We'll be here for a little bit, but as you go, take God's love into the world. Be a blessing to somebody. Would you do that? Have a great day.